for your name's sake. Amen.
Tonight's reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 39, starting in verse 20, going to chapter 40, verse 15. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord of the king of Egypt. The Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and when I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand," then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit."
On the basis of that favorable dream, we could read on and read about the baker, and it had a very different outcome.
Our next reading is from Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and, praying, said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and praying, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Often we limit the Lord by making him too small. I'd like us this evening just to look for a time at Joseph. we don't hear too much about Joseph, and I'd just like to have some thoughts about him and then about the Lord Jesus as well. So, Joseph was growing up. He was the favorite son of his dad. It was understandable in a sense that he was favorite because Jacob had worked hard because he loved Rachel very much. And Laban, Rachel's dad, did the dirty really on Joseph. Did the dirty because he wanted his eldest daughter to be married first. That was the custom. That was what was going on. And so, instead of working 7 years so that he could marry Rachel, it was such that Laban slipped in Leah instead of Rachel one night. And it was fairly sad. And we find that Jacob was prepared to work for another 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. That's quite a thought, really, isn't it? Leah was able to have children. Rachel wasn't. And even as in those days, the habit was, when Leah finished having children, or thought she'd finished having children, her maidservant was allowed to have children. And so it rubbed it in more and more that Rachel couldn't have children. And then the Lord allowed Rachel to have children. And Joseph was the firstborn. Therefore, he was a bit special. And sometimes that can cause all sorts of problems. Joseph was given a coat of many colors, a special coat. And the others envied him because of it. They were not very happy about it at all. And then Joseph dreamed. Now, sometimes it seems as if it would be better for people to shut up if they had a dream that was of a certain manner. But Joseph dreamed a dream. And he dreamed that there were several sheaves of wheat in the field, and his sheaf stayed standing up, and all the others bent over towards him. You can imagine what resentment that caused to his brothers. And then he went further than that. He told about a dream with the sun and the moon and the stars, 11 stars, bowing down to them. And his mum and dad got a little bit excited about that as well, because they didn't fancy that idea either, that they were going to bow down to him. And then suddenly he was sent off, because he was one of the youngest, he was sent off to find his brothers. They were off in the desert somewhere with the flock of sheep, and it would probably been a fairly nomadic existence in those days, because there wouldn't have been that much grass about, not like we got at the moment, but you know, the fact is that there wouldn't have been much grass, so they had to keep moving on. And Joseph's dad said, "I want you to take some food to the boys and to see how they're getting on." And he went wandering about, thinking where they were. I think it was Shechem they were supposed to be. And when he got there, they weren't there. So he was drifting about. Now, you can picture it, can't you? out in a desert region, just wandering about, looking a bit lost. And somebody else comes by and sort of said, "What's the trouble? What's the problem?" And said, "Well, I heard some people saying they were going on to Dothan." So Joseph went on to there. And as he was coming, there weren't obviously many people about, so it was fairly straightforward. They could recognize Joseph coming. He had his coat on, which probably sort of showed up fairly well. And so we find that they went and they saw him coming. And they wanted to get rid of him, and they thought, "This is our opportunity. We will kill him, and then we'll kill a kid or a lamb or something and cover it with blood, the coat, and say that some wild beast has got at them." Reuben didn't think this was the thing to do. He was quite reasonable, really. So he said, "Well, why don't we put him in a pit?" His intention was to come round and pick him up later and take him back to his dad. But whilst all that was happening, some travellers came along. There were camel trains occasionally drifting by. And we find some Ishmaelites coming along. And the other boys, I think Reuben at that stage was out looking after the sheep and checking them, and the others were all together, and they said, "Well, look, let's try and sell him to these Ishmaelites." And so that's what they did. And Reuben came back, looked in the pit. He wasn't there. He was sort of, his plan had failed, and we find that he was a bit upset by that. But Joseph was sold into Egypt. He was getting quite a few knocks. He was only 17 at this stage. And yet, whilst his dad loved him, and his mum loved him, his brothers didn't. And they were trying to do what they could to muck life up for him. So they sold him into Egypt. And there, Potiphar, one of the important officials, bought him. 20 pieces of silver. Sounds a familiar figure, doesn't it? Joseph was good. He was honest. And he got on well. In fact, he got on so well that Potiphar just left everything to him. There seems to be a tendency for people in Egypt there to be quite happy to let whoever is going to do the work get on with it and not worry about it after that. And so we find he was there in Potiphar's house, and he was given everything to do. Now, Joseph, by this time, was quite a smart young lad. And Potiphar's wife, she fancied him, really. That's what you could say. And so she tried to get him. She tried to seduce him. And he refused. And I mean, it must have been quite a big temptation for a slave person in another country with no hope of getting back home. Boss's wife fancied him, and he refused. And one day, after she was trying for quite a time to get him to sleep with her, he and her were in the house together, and she tried more to seduce him, and he fled. But he left behind an outer raiment. And he ran away. He ran from the temptation. It's not easy sometimes. We need to flee temptations as they come to us. Otherwise, we can get into all sorts of trouble. And you've got to remember that people who are trying to do wrong will use every evil means they can to trap someone who's being honest, someone who's being faithful to the Lord and keeping to God's ways and God's commandments. So she connived and sort of said, look, when the other men servants came back into the house, look what this Hebrew's done to me. You know, he tried to rape me and he ran away and I caught this and I got it. And so message was back to Potiphar. He came back in. You can imagine how angry he was. He didn't ask Joseph for his side of the story. And so he just threw him into prison. You know, again, Joseph had done nothing wrong. And sometimes we find ourselves like that, in positions not necessarily of being trying to be seduced or anything else, but being in positions where we're falsely accused. And sometimes the majority listen to the wrong thoughts, the wrong statements, get it wrong. Joseph was put in prison. The Lord allowed him to find favor with the governor of the prison. And in the end, he was left to look after a whole lot of prisoners himself. And at the time, Pharaoh got a bit angry with his cupbearer and his baker. And they were thrown into prison. And whilst they were in prison, Joseph was looking after them and in charge of them. And they both had dreams. They couldn't understand it. They were looking sad. Just like Nehemiah was when he was before the king as cupbearer. Nehemiah was sad because Jerusalem was in ruins. And the king said, look, why are you so sad today? You know, when you're not feeling too special, it can be fairly obvious. And, you know, so Joseph was saying, you know, what's the matter? And they said, well, we've had a dream. Both of us have had dreams. And there's nobody to interpret them. And Joseph didn't say, well, I can do that. But he did say the Lord could do it if you tell me the dreams. And as we heard in our reading that Brian read to us, the butler told his dream. And there was the vine and three new branches came up. A fruit went on it, went into the cup and was handed to the king and accepted. And he was released. Joseph said when he was being released, just remember me, because I've been put in here falsely. And that was that. So many of us, when we get into situations where we're so relieved to get out of the difficulty that we're in, that we forget what people have asked, people have helped. And so nothing more was done. The baker saw that that looked a good interpretation of a dream. And so he told his dream with the three baskets and the birds eating all out the top basket. The only trouble was that the interpretation of that one was a little bit different. In 3 days, he said, Joseph said, you're going to lose your head. And that was that. Joseph was stuck in prison. He hadn't done anything wrong. And he had to be there. And he'd interpreted the dream for the butler, and he had not fulfilled his obligations on it. But then Pharaoh had a dream. In fact, he had two dreams. 7 good sheaves. Later on, et up, or ground up, or taken over by 7 lean sheaves. But before that, he'd had another dream, which was 7 very fat cattle in the land, and then 7 rubbish cattle come along and eat the 7 good cattle, and they still don't look any better at the end of it. And so Pharaoh had this dream, called his magicians and wise men and everybody else to come and interpret the dream. Well, they said, well, give us a clue, because, you know, there was nothing to be known about the dream. And they couldn't answer him. They couldn't answer Pharaoh at all. The butler was still there, looking after Pharaoh, presenting him with wine and various other things. And he suddenly had his conscience pricked. And we find that he said, look, I've done wrong. He said, there was a man in prison when I was in prison who interpreted my dream. And as a result, I came back to being with you. And Pharaoh said, well, bring him quickly. And we read that in the scripture that he had a shave, got new clothes on, and went to see Pharaoh. But again, when he was there with Pharaoh, Pharaoh sort of said, you know, I understand you can understand dreams and interpret them. Joseph could have said, yeah, I'm quite good, you know, I can do it. But the reality was, he acknowledged the fact that it was God that was doing the interpreting of the dreams and said so. And so we find that the dreams were told, and it was a matter of 7 good years followed by 7 years of dreadful famine. And so there was a need for preservation in the good years in order that in the bad years there was enough food about. Pharaoh was wise enough to work out that he needed somebody who was pretty sensible to do the job. And in the end, he sort of said, well, you better do it. And he put him in charge of everything. That was okay. 7 good years. People gathered up grain. A fifth of the grain was particularly kept back for the bad years. And there was great supply. And grain was everywhere. Around the outside of the cities, we read. They didn't have rain like we did. And so they could keep the grain there. It's like in America, you see some heaps of maize or grain and they're outside and they haven't got any sheds to put them in. But it's all okay. So it seems to be okay. They can keep it there off the prairies. There was a famine came after the 7 years. And as a result of that, we know that Jacob and Joseph's brothers got into the situation where they'd run out of food. or were running out of food, and they'd heard that there was grain in Egypt. It seems there was a general famine around the whole region, but there was grain in Egypt. And we know that they were sent there to get some. We know that they came back having thought they paid for it, and there was the money in their bags when they got partway home, and they got a bit frustrated about that and worried about it. And so they went back to Jacob, and we find there that they had to go back again. And they had to take, they took double the money, that they thought they'd given, and otherwise. To cut a long story short, they were put through the mill a little bit with different things that they did, and they couldn't understand what was happening, and they told Joseph that, you know, there was a number of brothers and one of them wasn't with them, the little brother wasn't with them. He was home with his father, and, you know, he said, well, Joseph said, well, unless I see him, you aren't going to get any more grain. And Jacob was worried about this. It wasn't going to work out well. We find that they get invited in. Joseph recognizes them immediately, but he doesn't let on. And they go for a meal with him. And we find at the meal, you know, Joseph is sitting opposite or separate because Egyptians didn't eat with Hebrews. And they must have wondered what was going on because they were all on the table in their age order, exactly. You know, and they must have wondered what was going on with that. Eventually, Joseph can't stand it any longer. And he says to the people, all his servants and that, disappear, please. And then he revealed that he was Joseph. You can imagine the horror on their faces. What's he going to do to us now? Joseph said, God meant it for good. You know, it's just a lovely thought, isn't it, that through all that Joseph went through, he could say at the end of it, God meant it for good. And it may be that you're going through different struggles. And yet, if you're trusting in the Lord, God means it for good. You know, he loves us with an everlasting love. And I always find that if I find myself in a position where I'm wondering why this is happening, I look at the cross, and we're going to sing in our final hymn, beneath the cross of Jesus, two arms outstretched to save. You know, and you look at him on that cross and know that's how much he loves you. And then you know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. The result of that is that Pharaoh hears about the fact that Joseph's family is reunited and says, come on, let Dad and the others come on into a good land, the land of Goshen, and there for them to be. Jacob dies. And the brothers think, gosh, what's going to happen now? You know, he's got a chance now to have his revenge. A bit like the people with President-elect Trump. They're holding off his charges till he's finished his presidency, and then they're going to have a go. But, you know, that's... they were wondering what was going to happen. Now Jacob was out of the way, the steady and influence of father. You know, what was going to happen? But in Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20, Joseph reiterates the fact that, no, God meant it for good. Many people have been saved as a result of me being here to do that. Joseph went through life with lots of difficulties, and yet at the end of it, he could say, God meant it for good. And I just trust that each one of us, however many difficulties we go through, might find that to be the case. Because if we just briefly turn over to the other reading that we had, Jesus asked the Lord to relieve him of what he had to do. Three times. But Jesus each time said, nevertheless, thy will be done. And Jesus went through greater agony than we can ever know, and anguish, by going to that cross in order that we might be saved, in order that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be redeemed, brought back to be with God. God meant it for good. Jesus having to go to that cross to the disciples would have seemed disaster. But it was victory for all mankind, for those who believe and trust. He was the Savior of the world. There is no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. Acts 4:12. You know, Jesus went through it for us, for you and for me. If we're going through difficult times, just remember that Jesus went through more. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He addeth more strength when the trials, labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. If you're going through it, the words of that hymn have been a great encouragement to me. I trust they might be to you. Whatever we go through, God is sovereign. He's in control. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Just remember that. Thank you.